Let's begin.
This is the boss.
I'm the boss.
And the gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
It is fantastic to be back, a week off. You, the Gloss, were gallivanting around in Los Angeles last week.
I was, and I really miss being back in the studio with you.
Well, we're glad you're back. Good. There is some news to report, though. It's all about Jose.
Oh?
Yes.
Yes, Jose.
He's
you
got
failed
a new,
to tell me something.
Mm-hmm. A new one.
What?
Yeah. A new girl.
Hannah?
Hannah.
Can you tell us about Hannah?
On the wall there.
Who's that?
Oh, the calendar that is there for some reason, which... Now that we're on the subject, I'm not crazy about that calendar.
Okay. That's what I like to hear. I'm gone 1 week, and here goes the sexy calendars up in the studio.
Well, she looks delightful, and she seems very comfortable in her bikini.
But I don't think Hannah's good enough for Jose.
Really?
No, I don't.
You know, the other thing that happened while you were gone, I should mention, I mean, Game of Thrones is a big deal. Jose, you can help me with this. I got tweets and notes from listeners. They found Carla Dawson on social media.
Oh, boy.
They think she looks like Khaleesi. She's a mother of dragons.
I don't even know what language y'all are speaking.
Wait, come on, Jose. You can see the resemblance just a little bit, can you not?
A little bit.
I don't think I like this, but I'm
Let me ask you a personal question, Carla.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, exactly, Jose.
Have you ever given birth to a dragon?
It depends what day you're talking about,
right,
my
right,
dog.
Yeah. It depends if it was a good Mother's Day or a bad Mother's Day.
For the most part, no. Yeah.
For the most part, all is well on the home front.
That's right.
I got it. Good. All right. Well, a lot has happened since we were gone. I mean, game sevens were outstanding yesterday.
Outstanding. That was a Mother's Day present.
Ooh.
Wow, that's some good basketball.
And we are broadcasting live from a city that is in mourning. The Houston Rockets, of course, falling to the Warriors, and we will unpack what happened there and what's next for the Rockets.
Oof.
Hard to say.
We have a lot to say.
All right. When we come back.
It's sad here in Houston.
We will take a hard look at what the Rockets can do this offseason to right the ship and give some credit to the Warriors, who were outstanding down the stretch. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
And so, yes, we're broadcasting live from a city in mourning as the Rockets season prematurely ended. I mean, the expectations on Friday night were so high. Durant was not going to play. I think this year feels so much worse than last year. Last year, we could at least hang our hat on the thought that if Chris Paul had remained healthy, the Rockets could win. This year, well, Kevin Durant was out of the game, and the Rockets still couldn't win. And the Rockets are a year older. Chris Paul is 34. You line it all up, and it's a pretty dark offseason for the Rockets.
Well, you know, and it's not only Game 6. I mean, we can focus on Game 6 for sure. But in Game 5, Durant went down. He went down in the third quarter with still 14 minutes left to play in a tightly contested game.
Right.
It was at Oracle.
Right.
So that does, you know, go in the Warriors' favor. But they could not put the pedal to the metal to Golden State then. And at that point, when Durant went out, which was shocking, nobody saw that coming.
Yep.
It did take Golden State a couple minutes, 2 to 3 minutes of a little bit of disaster on the court to figure out what they're going to do. And then they went into what they know as championship mode, team mode. And they put on a face, and in came Andrew Bogut. I mean, they started using Andrew Bogut, Quinn Cook. They started using
the great Looney.
The Looney. Well, he actually was a star in game 4. And Andrew Bogut had 11 minutes, in game 6. But the Rockets, first of all, should have put away game 5.
Right. No, that was the first big missed opportunity. They had a chance to come back to Houston leading 3-2.
And then let's look at the silver platter that was given to them for game 6, okay? Like, honestly, I wish this wasn't the case with the Houston Rockets, but this was the case. What were they given? They had no, they were missing two of the starting five for Golden State with DeMarcus Cousins, who's been out the entire playoff season,
yep.
and KD.
Yep.
They're in the Rockets' home court. They've got no, they held Steph Curry in the first half scoreless. Did you hear that? Steph Curry scoreless. No DeMarcus Cousins, no Kevin Durant, basically no Steph Curry.
Yeah, no points from those three guys. You'd say Rockets must be leading by 20.
And they were tied at the half.
Yeah.
So that to me, that was like, wait, what is going on here? And Chris Paul stepped up. He's had a rough series. He stepped up. He had a great line. I think he had something like 27 points. He had great rebounds and assists. He did his job. It still wasn't enough. James Harden stuck with his average, which is basically almost 35 points for the series, about 40 minutes for the series, still not enough. The bottom line to me, if, after we dissect everything that we can dissect that went wrong, that is so frustrating if you're a Rockets fan, the Rockets are not as good as Golden State with KD and without KD, period.
Right.
James Harden is not Steph Curry. James Harden is amazing. He's MVP caliber. He was last year, might even again be this year. But when push comes to shove, they cannot beat Golden State with or without Kevin Durant.
Well, of course, last year it was, gee, if Chris Paul can stay healthy. This year
they got
it is,
their karma.
Okay, if we lose, well, it doesn't matter because Kevin Durant will leave. Next year we'll get it. But we've now seen, yes, even without Kevin Durant, the Warriors' ability to shoot, to play well. Klay Thompson, of course, carried them in that first half. So, yes, they've got the resources to win without Kevin Durant. In fact, as assuming Durant leaves and goes to the Knicks or wherever he goes, the Clippers, I think the Warriors are still the favorite coming into the next season. They're still the team to beat next year.
I agree with you. And I would say that Durant is 95% out the door.
Yep.
I appreciate him not talking about it because they're still in the playoffs and they're trying to do something with it. And you know what? Hey, Durant gave the Warriors what he said he was going to give them. He didn't sign a long-term deal, so they know this is coming, and they're handling it well. What I look at here is there were obviously Steph and Klay turned it on. I mean, when you can go hold the best shooter in the NBA in Steph Curry to 0 points.
Yep.
He scored 33 in the second half, 23 in the fourth quarter. That's the Rockets' defense inability to stop Klay and Steph, because Klay was still going. And Klay doesn't get the credit, but he kept them in it in the first half. That's exactly why when Steph couldn't do anything, and there's no Kevin Durant and there's no DeMarcus Cousins, you know, Kevon Looney was amazing. Andre Iguodala hit 5 3-pointers, 15 points from him. Sean Livingston looked like a young guy again. He was in double digits. But I think what the Warriors do, what the Rockets have not done, is as soon as KD went down in game five, Steve Kerr was like, we got to bring in the committee. Quinn Cook went in, like I said earlier. Here they go. They start bringing in their pieces. And their bench is not particularly deep.
Yep.
What Mike D'Antoni does in contrast to that is he shrinks his roster. So you're not seeing anybody except, you know, Tucker, Gordon, Paul, Capella, Harden, and maybe, you know, you'll see a Gerald Green in here, Kenneth Faried and Nene, but they do not expand the roster. And I'll tell you, the key is committee. It's trusting your teammates. It's committing to whatever it's going to be, whoever's got the hot hand, that's who you go with. And at the half, Golden State told Steph, keep shooting. Like, don't stop. They weren't frustrated by his zero line. They were like, you're shooters, keep shooting. That's what you do.
All right, as we sit here on Monday in Houston, Texas, there are a lot of folks looking to put the blame on Mike D'Antoni. Do you think there's any question about whether he returns?
I think there's question whether he returns. I don't know that there should be, because I think he's an outstanding coach.
Yep.
I think that his style, his ISO style that the Rockets employ, watching James Harden, basically.
Yep.
I think it works beautifully in the regular season. It needs to open up in the postseason. It's not working. You look at the other best ISO player in the NBA, aside from James Harden, Kyrie Irving. and your beloved Celtics went home 4-1 quite early at the hands of the Bucks. That style of play does not work in the postseason.
Yeah, maybe for some plays, but not play after play after play after play. There's got to be more motion, more activity, more fast break points.
It worked again. It worked in the beginning of the season when the Rockets started out at 11-14. That usage heavy, ISO dominant style worked.
Well,
it got them out.
No one was healthy either, and
that's very true.
Really,
and they had
up.
Carmelo Anthony,
right.
Which was like, oh my gosh.
They moved on from Carmelo, but give them credit for trying. I mean, this is the thing. As we look ahead, Daryl Morey is very, very creative, very, very aggressive.
He's genius.
If there are moves to be made, he will make them. Now, there are whole bunches of constraints on them. They've committed a lot of dollars to a very small number of people.
Yeah, you look at this, you look at what they've got coming. So they've got $115 million locked up into five players next year.
Yeah.
With Harden, CP3, Capella, Eric Gordon, and PJ Tucker.
Yep.
$115 million. So their cap space is about $5.7 million, their taxpayer exception. Then they've got these key free agents that they, you know, need to make decisions on in Austin Rivers, Gerald Green, Kenneth Faried, and Iman Shumpert. You know, it's, they need to add some wrinkles. People have them figured out, especially in the postseason. So they need some outside playmaking help from the wing. I mean, I don't know where they're going to get this.
Yeah.
Unless they make a trade for like a Chris Paul.
Well, there are whispers.
Got a big fat contract.
Yeah, there are whispers. I mean, look, it'll be hard to trade Paul with his contract, but there are whispers that Capella is he's a piece that could be traded and get some kind of value. It would change the dynamic of that team, but you've got to change the secret sauce in some way. Chris Paul's only going to be a year older. James Harden has probably peaked. I don't think you can expect much more out of his game.
I mean, he's doing everything.
Right. So how do you improve the team from this place?
Including 4 turnovers in the fourth quarter of game 6.
Well, so he's done everything except really perform well in the playoffs. I mean, he's put up good numbers in the playoffs, but yes, those turnovers were devastating. They should never have happened. And
right.
He has a tough history in the playoffs, as we all know. And of course, last year, all those missed 3-pointers in game 7 against the Warriors.
27 consecutive.
It's not all his, but
no,
yes,
not
for
all
as
his.
A team.
For
but,
the Rockets as a team.
But
yes.
Harden has struggled in the playoffs. And so what more can you get out of him? You can get more playoff potential. You're not going to get much more out of Chris Paul just by father time is an issue. It's interesting. The owner, Tilman Fertitta, came out and said, we're not going to rest here. We believe we can win a championship with James Harden, and they're going to be aggressive. James Harden himself tweeted out, quote, I know what we need to do, and we will do it. It's interesting when he says, I know what we need to do. It's almost as if he's the general manager to fix it. But he will have a seat at that table. I'm sure that Daryl Morey will bring him in, and they'll have a conversation about what moves can improve this team. I think D'Antoni's coming back. I think he deserves some criticism. I think there's a moment to look in the mirror here. But no, I don't think they're going to blow up the coaching staff. I think he comes back. If for no other reason, it'd be awfully hard at this moment to find his replacement. I mean, look at what's happening in the NBA right now. They're scraping around to find coaches. In L.A., it's
Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Lakers.
That's a whole other matter. But anyway, I think D'Antoni's back. I think Harden is back. I think Chris Paul has to be back because he's untradeable. And then after that, there are very few givens. I think they're going to have to look at all the options as they think about how to make one more run at what would be a weaker Golden State team because Durant would be gone.
Maybe. The record with Clay and Steph on the court and no KD is 30-4. So, yes, I'm not, and I want to be clear that I am not saying that KD is a liability. He is unbelievable.
Yep.
This team is a team. And that's what I think, and I think Portland plays in very much the same way, which is why the Western Conference Finals is going to be really fascinating.
Yep.
The Rockets aren't playing as a team. They can. They've got good guys. They've got talented players. They've got guys that I think would be willing to play in that type of a scheme. But they've got to have that type of scheme. It's not sit back, stand still, and watch James Harden try and draw a foul, and which that was brought to a whole different set of attention. There were a lot of antics going on with the Rockets that disappointed me. The complaining and whining about the foul calls after game one. Then CP3 kicking Steph off the court for his reserved shoot-around before game 6.
Yep.
I don't like that. And James Harden and really almost the whole Rockets team leaving the court without so much. They didn't even make eye contact with the Warriors. And While I realize that is a devastating loss, show some sportsmanship. Joel Embiid was bawling his eyes out last night and went up to every member of the Toronto Raptors. And that's a class act. So I don't like those little antics.
All right, when we come back, we will look at that series. We'll look at that extraordinary finish, Game 7.
Wow.
Well, the question on the table, is Toronto now the team of destiny in the East? When we return, we'll talk about it on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, let me begin by saying do not take a chance on being stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested. It's free of charge and one of the many services available. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. That's O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
I appreciate your tips, boss. I do.
There we go.
I don't want to be stranded.
No, we don't want you stranded.
Or right. Maybe you do.
One hour before
talking,
the show.
You're gonna want it.
Jose, you and I can handle it, can't we?
I don't know. She's kind of the wheels to this car.
That's the thing. She
oh,
is.
Jose,
and she,
for president.
Khaleesi wins again. All right. Let's look at that great series. I mean, Toronto, Philly, loved every minute of it. Seven games.
We to the wire.
Fantastic. An incredible shot. Of course, the last 4 seconds of that game, Kawhi, where he got to that spot, made the great shot. We can get there. The thing that's striking to me was, well, Philly struggled down the stretch. I mean, their offense struggled down the stretch. They really were in a position to win that series, but they didn't execute offensively. I think when they look back in the mirror and they replay what they did, they didn't line up well. They didn't call the plays they would like to call. And now there's this groundswell that team needs to be broken up. The coach needs to be fired.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think so. I think they've
That's overreaction Monday.
Overreaction Monday. And we've got that today, particularly in Philadelphia.
Yeah, no, I agree. Listen, they were there until the final fourth bounce off that rim as time expired.
Right.
In a game 7.
Right.
Why would you blow up that roster? You've got the most talented player in Joel Embiid, who, if they can just keep him healthy, and I don't know if it's him dropping a little bit of weight to be easier on his knees. I mean, he's not heavy at all, but he is a big dude.
Right.
They have got, I love the pieces that they have. They need to, with Joel Embiid yesterday, okay, so I've got 800 thoughts. They need to develop a jump shot for Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons needs
that's
a jump
something
shot.
Something.
Yep.
Right there. Because you had a good point, which I wanted you to talk about, the crowding that's going on with the 76ers. But with Joel Embiid yesterday, he played 45 of the 48 minutes. The 3 minutes that he was not on the court, they were negative 12.
I think Embiid is a special player. I love him on my team. And I love his old school post moves. I love the way he can be a force down low. He's not that 7-footer who will go out to the 3-point range and draw another defender out. I like him down low. I like him playing that old school post moves. To the point, one challenge they have, that 76ers team, is that Ben Simmons does not have a great outside shot. And so if Embiid is down low and Simmons needs to drive, you do get a crowd down in the paint. It would be probably in the ideal. The pairing with Embiid would be somebody who has a great 3-point shot, and you can play that inside-outside game, something that Simmons and Embiid can't do at this time. But if Simmons can get a shot off in the offseason, if he can really work on developing a 3-point shot, the sky's the limit for that team. I think they've got a lot of pieces. I mean, they do have some question marks. Well,
Jimmy Butler?
Jimmy Butler's a
what
free agent.
What do you think they should do with
Tobias Harris is a free agent. Mm-hmm. Look, I'd try to bring them all back. I'd say to them, we were that close. You need to come back. We're going to get Simmons to work on his shot. We're going to hone this team and its ability to play together. Come back and let's make another run at it. I don't think they're that far away.
I don't think they're that far away either. And if you look at what's happening in the Eastern Conference, the departure of LeBron has shifted, has made it very lopsided. All of a sudden, Cleveland went from playing in the NBA Finals to awaiting their lottery pick.
Yep.
I mean, so LeBron's departure has been significant for the Eastern Conference. And then you look at the team that beat the 76ers with Toronto. Kawhi is in flux.
Yep.
Is he going to be in the Eastern Conference next year, or is he going to go to the Clippers? So they've got that. You've got Boston with Kyrie. What's going to happen there? I think the time is ripe for the 76ers.
So one funny observation, it felt like there's this, particularly this playoff year, maybe more than others, the microwave analysis that happens at the end of each game, and just even in a series like Toronto and Philly, everyone's talking the next morning about what does this mean, not just for the series, but for the free agent who now will leave if the team doesn't advance. So if that basket had not been made, if the fourth bounce didn't go through, the narrative this morning would be, well, Kawhi's out of Toronto. He was a one-year deal. They put all their chips on the table to have Kawhi for one season, and now he won't come back because they couldn't advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Well, Kawhi's shot went in, believe it or not. And so now the narrative is, well, maybe Kawhi will consider coming to Toronto, but that means Jimmy Butler's out or Tobias Harris is out. They're going to change. Kyrie is out in Boston because all that has happened. It's just amazing how each win, each game seems to set the narrative about the fate of a free agent and therefore the long-term direction of a team.
It's the Flava Flav of the day. I mean, it's just, it really is crazy. But you know what? I think the 76ers, I think one of their biggest decisions, I'm assuming they're keeping Embiid and Simmons, honestly,
sure,
is what to do with Jimmy Butler. And I have to, because he's due the max deal, which would be $190 million if he stays with the 76ers. I've got to believe that when they traded for Jimmy Butler, they knew that. They traded thinking, okay, if we want him, which I'm assuming they want him, he was amazing, that they're prepared to pay him the max deal. Is he the outside shooter that would complement Embiid and Simmons well? Do you think he's the one?
I need to see another three-point shooter on that team. I want
he brings
them,
some drama
yeah,
with him.
I
he
want
does.
Him to spread the field a little bit more.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of great pieces, though. I just
do.
Think you've got to hold on to that. Trust the process.
Trust the process. And, you know, it's heartbreaking as it was to see Joel Embiid last night absolutely just breaking down in tears.
Yep.
I'm not going to say it was good to see that, but to me, I thought this is the fuel. That this is what changes people. You know, you don't change people when things are... Change doesn't happen when things are going well and everything's moving along swimmingly. It is moving along well. Clearly, they took Toronto to a four-bounce basket to end a game seven. But I think Joel Embiid's raw emotion and that hurt is going to just... He's the type of player that can be motivated beyond to improve even what he where he is right now.
So one other striking portrait that I got from him after... Well, I guess it came out today. He was asked about the idea that Brett Brown, the head coach, should be fired.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
And he used a little profanity and went on to say, look, he's done a fantastic job. He's been through everything. Brett Brown is an amazing coach and an even better person. This year, I think he grew even more as a coach. He learned. We all learned. If there's any blame to go around, put it on me. Those are his words. Those are the words of a leader.
Yes, it is. Good
and
point.
That's something you wouldn't hear from LeBron. I mean, LeBron's always the antithesis. He's always pointing the finger when defeat happens, right?
Right.
But Embiid is saying, no, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to be accountable for this. I'm going to stand up for my coach. I'm going to stand up for my teammates. Anyway, I think he comes out looking very good in this series.
Well, and I think what we're seeing right here is this process is working. And based on what you just told us that Embiid had said is that the coach is growing as the team is growing. It's moving in the right direction. Honestly, Kawhi Leonard, was that last shot lucky? Yes. He's not lucky. He's a super talented player, and the bounces went his way. He deserves a shot like that. It wasn't an ill chosen shot to fly up. It was perfect.
So, all right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to interview
tough for the 76ers.
Hall of Fame coach Lenny Wilkins. He will be on with this next segment. We're going to ask him what went wrong with the Rockets and, frankly, what's the upside? Who's going to win in the Eastern Conference Finals? Lenny Wilkins, we return here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss, on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, Carla, I know you have a little bit of a history with Dennis Rodman.
And, thanks.
And that history.
You're letting everyone know it now, right?
Well, mostly it was just you were imitating his hairstyles for a little while.
And the nose rings.
The nose rings, too.
The nose rings.
The lip rings. I just take them off before I come in the studio because I know you're not, that's not like your thing.
Well.
But, you know.
I do remember.
I'm edgier than I look.
Hair color was a little lavender one day. Things happened. But Dennis Rodman got himself in a little bit of trouble. I mean, in lightness. You've been following him. What happened?
Well, he decided to go shopping at a yoga studio.
Okay. That's what's wrong with that?
In Newport Beach. He brought some pals with him.
Yeah.
One guy broke a $2,500 geode and then proceeded to take it out without paying for it. And while he was keeping the shop owner very, mesmerized.
Entertained.
Yes. His friend girl was putting yoga clothes in her purse. It's caught on video. It's pretty...
Oh, Dennis.
But the best is that, you know, he's on probation, so he's not supposed to get in trouble because he had a plea deal after he struck a... He was going the wrong way in a one-way street in July 2016.
Yeah.
And he's on a three-year probation, and this kind of broke the probation if he gets arrested for stealing.
Wow.
So, you know, Rodman always keeps us entertained.
Well, it does raise the question, are you still going to be in his camp and mimic him and imitate his clothing and his style wear and all that? Or are you going to abandon him now?
I do kind of like geodes.
You like, oh, you do?
Yes, this is a $2,500 geode. It's pretty fancy. But he dropped it. His friend dropped it while he was stealing it. I mean, it just seriously, I can't make this stuff up.
They didn't do it the right way.
And this was broad daylight, I might add. So there was a little bit of drinking going on.
You think?
Yeah. I think so.
Jose, can you explain what he's doing here? Aren't you an apologist for Dennis Rodman? Well,
don't you often shop at yoga stores, you know, in the middle of the day after you've been drinking? Isn't that a thing?
I'm here in the middle of the day. I couldn't possibly find the time to shop at yoga studios or steal from yoga studios.
That's the right answer in front of the boss.
I plead the fifth.
All right, let me tell you what you should be drinking. Let me put it this way. When I get up in the morning, it's nice to have some coffee. It's nice to have some 5-hour energy. It's nice to get some energy. You've been known to have a cup of coffee, have you not?
This energy is all natural, right?
Really? You don't need anything artificial.
Right, that'd
but
be scary.
At the end of a show, right, we've been amped up. We're doing a show. At the end of a show, when you go home in the evening, sometimes it's hard to wind down.
No, that's a fact. That's very true.
But I've got the solution for you.
Okay.
It's a drink. It's something you take. It helps you sleep. It's called SOM, S-O-M.
It's an energy sleeping drink?
Well, it winds you down. It's a drink you take when you need to wind down before you had to go to bed. Just drink a small can before you're ready to sleep, and you will have a peaceful night's sleep.
Wait, you gave it to me before the show tonight. That's not nice.
Listeners have been tweeting in. Thank goodness you toned her down. You've sedated her just a little bit.
Only Psalm could do it. Only Psalm could do it.
Psalm is the only thing. Well, I do note, when I finish a show, I go home, I'm a little amped up from the show. It's nice to have some Psalm. So go get Psalm. You can get it at...
Get some Psalm.
Yes. It's called Get Psalm, GETSOM.com, GetSOM.com, and you'll have a great night's sleep.
Love it.
Hour number one in the books. You're listening to the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.